Working Cows Podcast, episode 46.
Welcome to the podcast that gives producers a platform to discuss and share paradigm-challenging practices. Practices that have increased the effectiveness of their operation and the joy that their families have received from this lifestyle.
Clay Connery from the Working Cows Podcast, back with another episode for you today. Got a couple of things. If we have added value to your ranch business through the Working Cows Podcast, I'd ask you to stick around after the episode. I've got a little bit of an announcement I'd like to make. The other thing is that we are proud to be official members of the Global Ag Network. So this podcast is powered by the Global Ag Network. And today on the show, I have Aaron Berger. Aaron is a beef specialist with the University of Nebraska Lincoln Extension Service in the Southwest Panhandle of Nebraska. And I invited him on the show today to talk a little bit about economic analysis and how we can better, more efficiently run our ranch businesses through proper economic analysis. So, Aaron, thanks for joining me today on the Working Cows Podcast.
Clay, thanks for the opportunity to be on the Working Cow Podcast. I've sure enjoyed listening to several of the podcasts you've done recently. Thought you've had some excellent content and some really intriguing people on. And so appreciate your efforts and kind of thinking outside the box, going after some folks that bring some creativity and entrepreneurship, ingenuity to the ranch business. So again, thanks for doing that, Clay.
Well, I think you were definitely part of the introduction, my introduction to these lines of thinking. So I appreciate you introducing me to these things and challenging us with different ways of thinking. And I really appreciate the Beef Watch podcast as well. Very easy to consume content that just gets right to the point and deals with the issue and gets people back to their ranch businesses. But it's equipping people definitely for more efficient ranching, I think, and I appreciate that very much.
So Clay, I guess the topic we're going to talk about today is really thinking about, as we move into the fall, where are we at from a profitability standpoint as we think about ranching?
I guess what's the best way to determine whether or not you are profitable? How can we go about determining whether or not we're profitable as far as our ranch businesses are concerned?
Yeah, that's a great question, Clay. And you know, I think it's really interesting as I've dived into this more in the last several years, how people think about profitability, what they use as a metric to define whether they've been profitable or not. So before I dive into this, I just want to give credit where credit's due. So I'm going to talk a lot about a number of different things as we visit here over the next half an hour or so. And I don't have ever an original idea. I've had the opportunity to learn from a lot of good people. So I just want to mention some people up front that I've learned from. I'm going to try to give credit to their thoughts, their concepts, their ideas as I go through. But if I missed it for some reason, I want to make sure they get credit. So first, I would say the Ranching for Profit School, Dave Pratt, Dallas Mount, they've really done a nice job thinking about profitability for the ranch business and challenging people to think about the ranch business from an economic perspective, looking at it from an economic analysis, breaking the operation into enterprises. And so I'll touch on that a little bit, thinking about that as a way to look at profitability. Another person I had the opportunity to work with and learn from is Harlan Hughes. Frequently contributes to Beef Magazine, North Dakota State University, retired economist, really has some good thoughts, again, around understanding cow-calf profitability, unit cost production. We'll touch on that. Jim McGran, retired from Texas A&M, one of the originators of the SPA, Standardized Performance Analysis, trying, again, to get a handle on what's really happening at an economic level for a ranch. He worked directly with Stan Beavers, who's also now retired, but does some consulting. Again, both those guys would contribute to thoughts I've shared today. Barry Dunn, who's now at South Dakota State University, was at the King Ranch Institute for Ranch Management for several years, but did his PhD work in-depthly studying or in-depthly studying several ranches, trying to identify what were characteristics of profitable ranches. And I'd be remiss without mentioning people like Burke Tigard, who I had the opportunity to work with, work for, people like Dick Whitman, who's a consultant in Idaho, Terry DeGroff, who has ran management information services out of Burwell, Nebraska for a number of years working with ranchers. All those guys are people who've contributed to the thoughts I'm going to share today. And again, want to make sure they get credit. So as I think about the ranch and we think about, is the ranch profitable? Let me just kind of set up two scenarios here that I think often occur. So oftentimes we have ranches that have been in the family for a long period of time. You may be looking at a ranch that's the land's paid for, the cattle paid for, the equipment's paid for, and they're paying taxes. They're profitable from a tax perspective. It's possible to be paying taxes and not be profitable from an economic perspective. And let me define that a little bit. When I think about an economic perspective, what we're really thinking about is what's the use of resources and are we capturing value from those most effectively? And again, this gets back to a little bit of what's your personal value? What do you want to evaluate? If we have a ranch, the land's paid for, cows are paid for, equipment's paid for, and maybe we don't really pay ourselves what we would be worth if we were to go out and hire ourselves out and do the same work for somebody else. We can show a profit from a tax perspective, meaning we're going to need to pay taxes. On the other hand, if we took an economic analysis, if we really looked at where value is being created on the ranch, where costs are occurring, we could be paying taxes but be really losing money economically. Some people might listen to that and say, well, I don't understand how that works. Now, let me just give you an example. So let's just say I own the ranch and I don't ask my cows to pay fair market value for the grass. That grass has value. I don't have to graze it with my own cows. I could market that grass to someone else by taking in cattle or custom grazing, by leasing the ranch out. And so I really want to identify what's the economic value that the land enterprise is producing. On the same token, I need to think about the cow-calf enterprise. If I think about the cow-calf enterprise, I think it's fair to ask those cows to pay some interest to the capital investment that we have in the cow herd. If I was to ask you for an interest-free loan, I doubt any of our listeners would call me up and say, hey, Aaron, I've got $100,000. I'll send it to you tomorrow. And yet also we often don't charge ourselves any interest on really the capital investment in that cow herd. And so if we can charge ourselves interest, if we can pay fair market value on paper for the different commodities as they move between different enterprises in the operation, to me, that really is an economic analysis is where we're asking, is it profitable? And again, that thought concept would come pretty much from the Ranching for Profit group. If we can pay ourselves fair wages, meaning if I was to go hire myself out to do the same work, if I compare myself fair wages for that, if I can pay interest on my capital investment, both for the cows and my equipment, cover my depreciation cost, if I can pay the land enterprise fair market value for the forage that's being grazed, and I can do that consistently over time. I may not be profitable every year, but out of a 5 to 7 year period, if I can do that, and that's an indication that the business is profitable. It's economically profitable. What that means is I could go out and borrow the money and I can make a profit. Now, that's a little different than if we think about the ranch perspective from profitability, if we just think about cost centers and profit centers. I think about that perspective and that line of thinking, and I respect that and I understand it. Now, we're just thinking about what does it cost. So from a land business perspective, if I'm only charging the cows what it costs, I'm going to ask them to pay the taxes. I'm going to ask them to pay maintenance and upkeep on the land enterprise, you know, things like fences, water, weed control. Those are the costs I'm going to charge to the cow herd. And I'm going to track costs as I move through my production system. So I'm going to ask the cows to pay costs for the grass they graze. If I'm putting up hay, I may ask the hay enterprise to pay costs for what it costs me to grow that hay. If I'm developing my own replacement heifers, instead of booking those heifer calves at weaning at market value, I'm going to book them at cost, meaning what did it cost me to produce that heifer calf? And I understand that. And I think if you've made the commitment that I'm going to be using my own grass for my own cows, I'm not going to do anything else with these enterprises, then I think it's really a fine decision to only track costs. We're only looking at cost centers and profit centers. We're tracking costs through the system. When we look at equipment cost, you know, we're going to want to take into depreciation and maintenance and repair, but we may not choose to look at any capital return to our investment in equipment, or I guess we would need to from a depreciation standpoint, but we may not ask ourselves to pay any interest on capital investment. And so that's a different line of thinking there. And so both can be used. I think both are valuable. I think if you're thinking about your ranch and you're really trying to identify where's opportunity for me to capture more value, then I think you need to do an economic analysis, right? You got to break out the enterprises and say, where's value being created? If the ranch would be more profitable by not owning cows, then you have to ask yourself the question, should I own cows? Now, if you're really committed to owning cows and you're not going to not, and you would not do that, meaning that you're going to own cows if you own a ranch, then you don't even need to do the analysis. It doesn't matter. Then you might just want to think about costs. So those are two ways of thinking about it, Clay. And I think as people think about their operations, both have value. Both are tools I see used by people I respect. And I think you need to understand, though, as you look at numbers published in trade articles or something like a journal, like Kansas State University has a nice annual report that they do looking at cow-calf cost, and they're doing an economic analysis. That looks real different from a perspective if we would look at something like we might get a report from something like Cattle Facts where they ask people to report their cost. Those are two different numbers, and I think it's really important that our listeners understand that.
Are we talking about the difference between an economic analysis or being economically profitable and then being financially profitable? Is that kind of what you're talking about?
I am. And I'm going to use kind of two terms here and probably make some economists that listen to this nervous. But really, economics, in my perspective, is the use of resources and really asking, is it profitable? Could I go borrow the money I invested in this business and have it be profitable? Now, again, there'll be people that disagree with that, but that's, I think, an economic analysis. When we think about the finance part, we're really talking about how does the money move? How does money flow? So I could come up with an idea economically that's profitable, but if I don't have the money to do that, that's the finance part, right? I got to go find somebody to provide me the capital investment to do that. And that's the finance part. So there's a lot of ranches today that financially are cash flowing just fine. But economically, if they had to go try to borrow the money to run that business, they wouldn't be. And I think that's an important distinction that's, in my mind, is important to understand. And I think also I want to just challenge folks that are trying to get started in the business. You need to think about, how can I make this business be economically profitable? Meaning, how can I go borrow the money to invest in this business to have it be profitable? Because that's really a business that you want to be a part of, that can grow and expand and support a fair wage to you as the business owner.
You mentioned people that are committed to owning cows. And so how much does the emotional component of these decisions come into how we handle this economic analysis?
Well, candidly, the emotions ought to be separate from the economic analysis, because really you're wanting to get to the understand. If you're really doing economic analysis, from my perspective, you're breaking the operation into enterprises and you're asking the question, how can this ranch be more profitable? And sometimes the answer may be an answer you don't like. It may be something that you don't really want to hear. And that can be challenging. But I guess from my perspective, that doesn't mean you have to do that, right? Just because you could do something with the ranch that would be more profitable, that doesn't mean you have to do it. But if you want to be more profitable, I think you need to be real with yourself and say, what are the opportunities that are out there? So that's what I guess I'm getting to with that, Clay. And some people might say, that's splitting hairs, that's kind of semantics. But as you then think about, well, what are things I'm willing to do? I mean, I work with some ranchers who would say, I'm never willing to run goats. Okay, that's fine. Running goats might make your ranch more profitable, but if that's an enterprise you don't want to engage in, then we understand that that's not an option that's on the table. So I think those are things that are important to be distinctive. A lot of ranches I work with are very candid. They say, Aaron, even if it would show that we would be more profitable custom grazing our ranch, that's not something we want to do. We want to own cows. Then that option's off the table. We really even don't need to do an economic analysis on that, right? Now we probably are just looking at the cost centers within the ranch enterprise. if I'm not going to make any changes, or I'm not going to consider making any changes to the enterprises that are part of my ranch, then I think you move strictly to a cost center focus. You tackle the cost side, and you try to figure out how to capture more revenue from the end product you produce.
Well, I think there are a couple of directions that we could go with this. And the first one is, how do we do it? How do we give an honest economic analysis of our ranch business? And the second is, what gets left out in the traditional economic analysis? And what are the consequences of leaving some of those things that commonly get left out? So I guess I'll leave that to you. Are those two good directions to go, first of all? And secondly, you pick which one you want to chase first, if they are good directions to go.
Okay. So you said economic analysis or traditional economic analysis. And I'll say I would see more that being a situation where we're only tracking costs. I'll just be candid. If you're good at that and you do that well, I'm excited for you, because not very many ranches do that. And it's a challenge, right? It's a challenge to get that done. So if you're tracking cost, you know your cost, you can break those costs down into enterprises. So you have cost centers and profit centers. That's a great place to be. One of the challenges I think with that is though you aren't necessarily identifying value. And what I mean by that is, let's say it costs me, I'll pick a number, it's wrong, but let's say it costs me $100 a ton to put up hay. If that hay has a market value of $150 a ton, and I only charge my cows cost for that hay, that was value I didn't capture. That hay was worth $150. I marketed it to my cows at cost at $100. Now we might say, well, but you then sold the calves. I agree. But what if year in and year out, I could sell my hay for $150 a ton, and I only value it at cost to my cows at $100? Am I in effect subsidizing my cows? I would make the argument I think you might be. So I think that's one of the challenges with a traditional just cost center approach, that you can maybe be missing where there's opportunity to capture more value. And let me put it another way. This is an example I think that's challenging to me. If I could tell you today somewhere where you could get 20 cents more per pound for your calves when you sold them at weaning, I think most producers would say, show me where that's at. I'd like to go capture that. And yet, if I told them the same thing, you're selling your hay to your cows at cost at $100 when you could sell it for $150, most folks would say, but I've got cows, I'm going to feed my cows. So I don't know if that makes sense, Clay, but I think that's kind of two distinctions. The cost center really is just tracking costs. Economics is saying, where's value being created in this business, and how can I capture more of that value?
So what gets left out in these economic... let me just say... In my experience, depreciation is what gets left out. Sure, the business is cash flowing, but when it comes time to replace the tractor, I don't have cash on hand to do that because I didn't figure in the depreciation of that piece of equipment or the cow or whatever other... Everything on your ranch is depreciating. Your buildings, your fences, your everything. And I see that getting left out a lot. Is that typical of your experience?
Yes, I would say that's very typical, Clay. If you... think about what people think about costs. They think about what they write a check for, and that's the cost side. And I understand that. But if I think about that, if I don't pay myself for my labor, if I'm not paying myself in some way, I'm kind of subsidizing my business with my labor. I could go work for someone else and get paid much more than maybe I'm paying myself. So that would be another thing that would be left out. You already covered depreciation on equipment, buildings. A big one I see is cow depreciation. People don't value what that heifer calf would have a value at weaning, or maybe what her value would be as a bred heifer entering the herd. And then she's going to kind of grow in her value. Usually a 3 or 4 year old bred cow is worth equal to or more than a 2 year old bred heifer, and then her value is going to decrease over time. We frequently don't take into account the cost of that depreciation, what that cow was worth, and then the difference between that and what her salvage value is. Depreciation is a big one.
For further discussion on cow depreciation, you can check out workingcows.net/6. I had Aaron on with a very practical and informative episode on cow depreciation. So if you want to look back at that, check out workingcows.net/6. We will have a link to some of the economic analysis tools that the High Plains Ranch Practicum puts into place. I think developed in large part by Aaron himself at workingcows.net/46. So this episode is working episode 46. So we'll have a link to on the show notes page to the economic analysis tools that can kind of help you get started at workingcows.net/46. So how do we do economic analysis? What are the steps? What are the tools that we should think about employing, and how do we use them?
So from my perspective, if we're going to do an economic analysis, we first want to understand the different enterprises that are part of the operation. So I'm going to just pick a sample ranch. Let's say I've got a ranch that I own the land. I have a cow-calf enterprise. I rent some calves over as yearlings. I develop my own heifers, and I put up hay. I want to be able to break that operation into enterprises and begin to identify where costs are attributed to for each enterprise, and that's really overhead costs. And overheads are things related to land. Related to land would be things like equipment used for care, maintenance, upkeep of the land. Overheads would be also things like tractors, pickups, four-wheelers, trailers, working facilities, buildings, your own labor, hired labor. Those would be overhead costs. And then we, from my perspective, from economic analysis, we can break those overheads out by enterprise and begin to identify by enterprise where are those overheads being invested. Then we can get into the direct cost part. That's a pretty straightforward. Direct costs are things that increase incrementally for each unit we have in production. If I've got a cow and I get another cow, I'm going to spend more money on vaccine. I'm going to spend more money on fly tags or ear tags, things that increase incrementally for each cow I have in production. So from an economic perspective, I want to identify where those direct costs are. And then I want to identify where's value being created. So the land business is creating value by growing grass. And I want to value the grass that I grow before I put it into the mouth of a cow or before I put it into a swather and grow it into a hay bale. Meaning I'm going to ask the cow-calf enterprise on paper, the stock or yearling enterprise, the hay enterprise to pay fair market value for that forage on paper to the land business, because that land business generated that value. I don't have to own cows. I don't have to own yearlings. I don't have to put up hay. I could marketed that grass to someone else, and that would have been returns to the land enterprise. And I do the same thing with the cow-calf enterprise. At weaning, I'm going to put a market value on those weaned heifer calves that I retain. I'm going to say, I could have sold that heifer calf, I'm going to pick a number, for $950. I chose to keep her and retain her and put her into my heifer development enterprise. If I can show a profit with my heifer development enterprise over time by buying heifers in and then developing them and then selling the breads back to the cow-calf enterprise, that shows me that enterprise was profitable. What that allows me to do is to economically evaluate, should I be in the heifer development business, or maybe should I be buying bred heifers from somebody else? Again, those are things that allow us to evaluate each of the different enterprises. That's really what I'm talking about from an economic analysis standpoint. Then when we transfer clay to a enterprise analysis from a cost center standpoint, that's where we only track costs.
What do we do if we get an answer we don't like from our economic analysis?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So I think what you got to do is look at how those enterprises perform over time. So a great example in my mind is over the last 5 years. If we go back to 2014, I just sold $3 calves. My cow-calf enterprise looks outstanding. I've had the most profitable year in my cow-calf enterprise maybe in 40 years, and so it looks really good. If I looked at that same enterprise from an economic perspective in 2016, when I sold my calves for $1.50, all of a sudden it doesn't look very good anymore. So we got to look at enterprises over time and say what's happening in those enterprises over time. If I don't like the answer over time, then I need to ask myself the question, what can I change or what could I do to make this enterprise be economically profitable? And that's really from a cost structure standpoint. You know, what's happening in terms of depreciation? What's happening in terms of direct costs? What's happening in terms of labor and overhead inputs? You know, what's going on there? Can I change anything with that? If there's not much that I can change, then I need to ask the question, should I have that enterprise? Now, it might be that enterprise is part of the system as a whole. And I'll pick one. I'll pick on replacement heifers. Maybe if I look at my replacement heifer development enterprise over time, and maybe it's a couple $100 loss economically. But when I look at what that does for me with my cow-calf enterprise, when I look at how that fits in the system as a whole, and it's also covering some of my overhead cost, I might be willing to continue that enterprise if it's somewhat of a small money loser. Now, if it's a big money loser, I better get pretty creative and think about how can I make some changes there. So well, you got to pull all these enterprises back together and think about what they contribute to the ranch as a whole. Because it might be that an enterprise that's losing money is also helping me cover some of my overhead cost. And if I remove that enterprise, it actually might make my ranch more unprofitable. So you got to put all the pieces together and look at it as a whole. But breaking it into enterprises allows you to identify where are things that we're doing really well. How do we expand and grow that? Where are some things we're struggling? Can we tweak or change it? Or maybe some cases, could we eliminate that enterprise? Could we stop doing that? And often there is one that's not doing well. We could eliminate, work less, and make more.
How do you see ranches that are handling economic analysis fairly when they're getting answers they don't necessarily like? What are some examples of things that you see them doing that are helping them to move those numbers in the right direction?
I see them being creative. I see them doing things differently than their traditional counterparts would do them. I don't see them saying how can I be more productive? From my perspective in the cow-calf part of things, we've probably maximized productivity. I just don't see that there's much upside there. What I do see them doing is thinking about, okay, how can I get aggressive about addressing overheads? Overhead costs are a big one in ranching tied to labor and equipment. So are there things I can do to try to address that? A second big one from a cow-calf perspective is cow depreciation. And we've already touched on that, but how can I get that cow in the herd for less costs? How can I capture more value from her when she leaves the herd? And how can I get more calves? Or in some cases, it might be, how do I get less calves and sell her when she has more value? So that's another big one. I think it's really looking at my resource base, thinking about, how can I maybe capture more value from the calves I do produce. So maybe I background those calves, run them over yearlings, or I do something to try to utilize resources more effectively and provide me greater flexibility with my system to be more profitable. Sometimes it's getting outside the box in a big way. It's thinking about, should I add another species? Should I look at something like sheep, or should I look at something like goats? I've seen some other people that got pretty radical and says, I shouldn't own any cows. I should custom graze. And so I know of a ranch that actually dry lotted their cows and took in cows because they could be more profitable doing that. Another ranch sent their cows to another part of the United States and are custom grazing. So they really get pretty creative, and they do things that would make their neighbors raise their eyebrows and say, whoa, I don't know about that. Those are folks that are doing economic analysis and trying to get pretty creative about how do they get more out of what they manage and utilize.
Very good. Very, very good. Well, I think that's kind of a good place to start wrapping up, but I do have a couple of questions that I'd like to ask you, not necessarily related to economic analysis. The first one is, how is the High Plains Ranch Practicum going?
So Ranch Practicum is really fun. We've got 25, 26 ranchers, and we just completed our last two-day session here in August, and just had great discussion. Folks being really willing to challenge us, allow us to challenge them, and it's just been a fun time, Clay. It's really fun to be part of people who want to learn, who are excited about learning, and real diversity in terms of resource base, where they come from. But that's the fun part, because people bring different perspectives and challenge each other. And that's really where learning, from my perspective, happens. If you're not challenging yourself, if you're not challenging your thought process, probably not a lot of learning really taking place.
Yeah, Brock Terrell said on the Working Cows podcast, I've never learned anything from someone I agreed with.
Well, I don't know if I go that far. I have learned some things with people I agree with, but people I don't agree with often challenge my thinking in big ways.
How are things going with the Beef Watch newsletter and the Beef Watch podcast?
Yeah, it's really been fun. The podcast part, I've been doing some things like you've been doing, Clay, getting a producer perspective, and really pretty interesting to see how different people approach and attack how they manage the business based on where they're located and the resource base they have. And I would say also with that, just what they like, what they enjoy. And so it's been a fun thing to do. And, you know, I think the nice thing I also like about the podcast is a lot of the articles we discuss, I get to go more in depth with the author, get into some things that really aren't discussed in the article. And so it really gives people a greater depth to a topic than they would get from just reading the newsletter. So been a fun thing to do. And I think one that's had value for people. You can listen to a podcast when you're in a tractor, on a four-wheeler. And so hopefully helping people capture and utilize their time effectively by providing that learning opportunity.
No, definitely. Like I said earlier, just such good content. You're in and you're out. There's not a lot of fluff. You get right to the point. And I really appreciate the service that you're providing there. So the High Plains Ranch Practicum is going to continue indefinitely, I assume. Seems like it's been very well attended in recent years.
Yeah, so we're going to get through this year. We'll wrap up in November. Our next class will get kicked off in June of 2019. So I would wrap up this year's class and again in early November of 18, and then we would be taking registrations for 2019 in the spring.
And I do have quite a group of listeners in South Dakota, Colorado, Nebraska. They're all traditionally in the top 10 states as far as downloads are concerned. So anything you want to make people aware of coming up, this is going to release on September 3rd. So anything you want to make people aware of coming up as far as events or seminars they could be attending?
So this fall, if people are interested in doing an economic analysis on the ranch, going to be holding three workshops in Nebraska, looking at unit cost production, where we actually look at a sample ranch, break it into enterprises, and walk through where's value being created, where's costs occurring, and then what could we do with that sample ranch to make it more profitable. The fun thing is I've done this with different groups, I think six different times now. And we always come up with some different ideas. Often there's common ideas of things this ranch could do. But when we just plug those in, I'll be candid, we hardly ever are in a scenario where we don't find $50,000 for this sample ranch that they could do that would make a difference. I think that's significant. And I think in many cases on many ranches, it might not be 50, but I bet there's 20 to 30 oftentimes of some management changes that could be made that could improve their bottom line. So if folks have an interest in that, would encourage them to just contact me. Be happy to share the dates and locations and find out more about what they're wanting to get out of it. Make sure it's a good fit, because honestly, I know it's a big commitment to give 2 days to that. But if that's something people are interested in, we have those coming up this fall.
And I'll figure out how to link to some contact information for you at the workingcows.net/46 site. But is the beef.unl.edu also a good kind of home base to find a lot of those things?
Yeah, it is. We actually haven't published yet those different dates and locations for the unit cost production workshops, but the beef.unl.edu website's got a lot of resources there. That's where they can get to our Beef Watch podcast. Also have a lot of videos there as well. People can go to YouTube and find on a lot of different topics. So I think really, again, I'm biased, but I think a nice resource base for folks who are looking for research-based information that applies to cattle production and ranching.
Well, in my episode with Brock Terrell, he said that he believes that the Extension Service in Nebraska has some of the best minds in the beef industry. And in my experience with the ones that I have been able to interact with, I would say that holds true. So definitely, I don't think you're out of line to be a little bit biased there with the Beef Watch newsletter and podcast and all the services that UNL is providing through their Extension Service. So thank you for your time today, Aaron. I really appreciate just this opportunity, and I think what we've done, hopefully what we've done, is whetted some appetites for further study in the area of economic analysis on different people's ranch businesses.
I appreciate the opportunity, Clay. Thank you.
I really appreciate Aaron's perspective and what he had to say about people who get creative when they get answers they don't like from their economic analysis. So I hope there's something there you can tuck under your hat and think about for a little bit and maybe put to work on your ranch business. Now, for the announcement, we have launched our Patreon campaign, patreon.com/workingcows or workingcows.net/support. And if you go there, you can support the show for as little as $1 a month. The feature item right now that we have that you are able to gain access to is a private Facebook group. And we'll have a bunch of the show guests that we've had on in the past in there. And you will have opportunity to interact with them. And you will have opportunity to interact with other people who are part of this Working Cows community who are
benefiting from the show and who are having their ranch business models challenged and changed by the show. And just, it's just going to be a community of people who are open to new and different ways of thinking. So I would encourage you to head on over to workingcows.net/support or patreon.com/workingcows and see what other benefits you might be able to gain from this Working Cows community. Thanks for all the support. Thanks for listening to the show. We'll be back next week with a very interesting episode with Will Munger. You might not know who Will Munger is, but he's got some really interesting perspectives, and I look forward to a very interesting discussion with him next week on episode 47 of the Working Cows podcast. And don't forget, we've got a really exciting guest for episode 50. I'm out of things to tease you with, so I got to tease you with that at least, I guess. So we'll see you next week for episode 47 of the Working Cows podcast.
We invite you to visit workingcows.net to subscribe to the show via iTunes or Stitcher. You'll also find detailed show notes pages, resources from our guests, and the industry leaders who have influenced them. For more ideas on putting your cows to work for you in a more profitable way, tune in next week.